Welcome to The Cave, the first podcast series produced by Neos Kosmos, the Greek-Australian newspaper delivering news and information since 1957. My name is Fotis Kapitopoulos, a former editor and longtime contributor. I often meet intriguing people that I think you would love to hear from. The Cave will feature a diversity of guests who are interesting, controversial, intelligent, brave, creative, and funny. It's safe and warm in The Cave, so please come inside, sit down by the fire, make yourself comfortable, and enjoy the conversation. Today's guest, filmmaker, theatre director, lecturer in film and acting, Alkinos Tillimidos. Let's say a little bit about Alkinos. Alkinos' film deal with dark matter, raw, emotional. And in fact, however complex or unsettling his films can be, there's a humanity to them. There's a sense of catharsis at the end. Things, if not get right, get somewhere, cleans up. Everything from his earlier films, which we'll talk about later, Every Night, set in H Division of Pentridge, right across to M4J, about romantically locked junkies trying to survive, which, of course, Margaret Pomerantz caught a punch in the gut. Now, the master of contemporary noir, of dark shadows, intense silences, explosive revelations, and somehow brooding films, has made an interesting, light, entertaining, intelligent film called The Taverna, a sort of comedy melodrama, vibrant, diverse cast, music, human, ordinary, funny, emotionally charged, a roller coaster, all set inside a tavern in one night. So, Dark Prince, welcome, Alkinos.
Thank you for this.
Tell us a little bit about, before we go on about you, tell me a little bit about Taverna, The Taverna, I should say.
That Taverna.
And we're drinking coffee as we speak, of course, to solidify the fact that we're in a small Greek coffee in our Greek studios.
In our Greek studios. The Taverna, look, I think it just came from a combination of things. One, like, there were a bunch of characters in my head. There were a bunch of people that I sort of was thinking about, along with wanting to work with Vangelis Mourikis, the Greek actor. I was actually at the Taverna the night it was born, in a way. I had a great dinner, had some drinks, and went out the back and was speaking to the owner of the Taverna, of White Village Tavern. And it sort of felt like all the things that I'd been developing over the last few years, I felt like there was a chance that it all could happen where I was, in a way, you know.
This is transparency plus, all right? I've been a fan of yours for a long time. Some of the films that really stand out for me, Every Night, a film focused on the early life of contract killer Christopher Dal Flannery, based in Melbourne's His Majesty's Prison, Pentridge. Tom White, an architect who leaves his ordinary middle-class life to live in the streets, which is extraordinary kind of interplay of middle class, dropping class. Blind Company, which is one of the most intense and brilliant films I've ever seen. Man dying, going blind, visited by his nephew, played by Nick. Of course, Colin Frills is fantastic as Jeffrey Brewster, the dying man, living in this shack by the sea, visited by his nephew Josh, played by Nick Barkla. Extraordinary films. M4J, two romantically linked junkies, quite uncomfortable to watch, but at the same time, a great film, visceral. What makes you do these films? Well, how come you've shifted from making these films into The Taverna?
I don't think I've shifted. All those characters, you know, in those films, they're all kind of, they're all outcasts, you know, in a way. And The Taverna's primarily about outcasts.
So it's a group of outcasts in The Taverna.
Yeah, when you look at it that way. I mean, that's what kind of inspires me in a way, and all those other films, those characters are more in danger, if you like, you know, the M4Js, the Christopher Dale Flannery, those characters, they're in serious danger.
Let me play a little clip from one of my favourite, Every Night. This is Christopher Dale Flannery, played by
David Field.
Let's hear that and we'll come back.
I'm no longer part of this world. I've resigned.
Get dressed, son.
I've No need for your clothes, Gaffer. I've resigned.
Get him out of here!
Officer Gaunt!
I want him on bread and water until he decides to conform to regulations.
I'm not eating until you conform to humanity!
Fantastic. I mean, that resonates. I mean, this was a film made 30-plus years ago. What's happening now? Of course, we've got a palimpsest of crises set upon us, a global war, not least the riots in America or the black, the issue of Black Lives Matters and so on. It's something that resonates currently, isn't it? In some ways, your film, The Taverna, even though it was made before that, still picks up some of those tensions, those cultural tensions that you always deal with.
Well, that's right. I think that's part of my makeup. You know, it's that thing where it's about injustice. I mean, ultimately, all these things are about some Correct. Sort of social injustice. So, you know, when I talked before about, a compulsion, well, my compulsion is where I sort of feel there's an injustice. There's my compulsion to move forward, you know.
Being brought up, being raised as a son of a migrant, like many of us, or the child of a migrant, you could say we feel some of that injustice or have felt it in the past.
Completely. I mean, I grew up feeling like an outsider. It's just that I had to adapt. I was probably better at adapting than others, you know. But, I mean, ultimately, I always felt like an outsider. When I went to primary school, you know, here I couldn't speak a word of English. I was an outsider. From the moment I understood the institution of a school, you know, I was forced to feel like an outsider because I was kind of not like, you know, like I didn't have language, for instance, you know. So those feelings, they never kind of leave you. As a child, you know, the things you discover, the things you've, you know, you make emotional discoveries as a child around your circumstances, they stay with you forever. They're part of your makeup, you know. And I guess all those characters that I've dealt with and sort of will continue to deal with, you know, are essentially feel like outsiders.
I mean, and again, the Taverna doesn't break away from that, even though it's a much lighter, it's a smart, intelligent, humorous film. There's still a bunch of outsiders and many of them dealing with grave social injustice in
Absolutely,
their lives.
And there's a sense of a broader, a much sort of broader and fierce sort of antagonistic force outside of the Taverna.
That's right. That's an interesting way of putting it because the Taverna is somehow a safe space. I don't like saying those terms nowadays, but I mean, it is a safe space.
Well, it goes back to when I was a child, you know, like as a 12-year-old boy, you know, going to a Taverna to eat with my... Yeah, safe.
That's where dad
because
and mum could protect
was
you. Yeah.
Safe and mum and dad, you know, I was in a safe place and guess what? My father could speak Greek, his native tongue to the waiter,
and you felt,
and that was a big thing.
It's interesting you say that because I think a lot of us feel that when we're kids, where your parents were going to a Greek dance or a taverna, and you saw your parents rise. Yes. They were no longer immigrants who couldn't speak and were looked upon as outsiders. They were at the center of the stage. They were in power. They were empowered.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. And that you feel that as a youngster, as you're growing, you know, you kind of...
Wow, okay.
Yeah. But then also the other thing, you know, that you're also faced with the thing that you have to move outside of this circle to survive, you know, like as an Australian, you know, like so that you have this sort of protected area, but still the outside world is where you're going to have to live.
It's interesting you say that because... It is all encased in one. But we'll talk a little bit about Taverna as we go along. What I find fascinating is out of all the films I've seen of yours, and I've been following your career for the last, I don't know, since we met, 96 or something like that, since Every Night, Every Night.
94,
this is the first film I've seen of yours where it has a specifically Greek thematics. Greeks are spoken in it. It's not a Greek film.
Yeah, no, it's not.
It's not a Greek film. Let me put it very clear. It's a very much an Australian film. The Taverna is set in Australia. It's a diverse cast, a fantastically diverse cast that we'll talk a little bit. But it's your first foray into some sort of Hellenism, your own Hellenism maybe.
Yeah, well, it's true. It's true. And that's a good thing. You know, like, I travel to Greece every year pretty much. I am very connected to Greece and to things Greek. But never really had the opportunity to explore that on film or with the things I'd been doing. So it wasn't a specific choice, although it was driven, again, by the idea of working with Vangelis, you know.
Who's the main character.
Who is, you know, a Greek national. I mean, he's a Greek actor who's, you know, got a distinguished career in Greece. So I knew sort of whatever it was that I wanted to do with Vangeli was going to be from an Australian Greek perspective. So that was a way where, one, I could touch on the culture that is dear to me, but also in the kind of auspices or the, you know, in the circumstance or the situation of an Australia that I know. You know?
Just for our listeners, just to get a little bit of context here, Kostas is played by Vangelis Mourikis. He is the taverna owner, and there's a whole series of, we won't give away much of it, but there's a whole series of events of love lost, love gained, exile issues, sexual issues, a whole range of romp going on in there. Yeah. And it's interesting, the sort of ordinary everyday life and how it can be quite explosive if you had a... But Vangelis, or Kostas, I should say, the character who you're talking about, Vangelis Mourikis, who plays Kostas, he's the ringmaster in some strange way.
Yeah, that's very good.
Is he not the kind of... He's a curator of all this activity, jumps in, jumps out, saves people, doesn't save. Talk a little bit about Kostas before you do
it. Yeah, the character. I mean, you know, like he's the ringmaster. But he just wants to keep, he just wants to make his restaurant run as best as it possibly can.
That's right.
His interests are with the restaurant and his family, you know. But his family is also the people that he's gathered around him, his staff and all that sort of stuff. I mean, he literally is, yes, the ringmaster, the father, the brother to the, you know, all those things. But it's all about his taverna. Do you know, it's where...
There's a family around there. There's a family.
Exactly.
There's an interesting little interplay between the Turkish chef and him in the beginning where I think he calls him something like your dirty Greek or...
They have this kind of classic Turkish Greek sort of.
But they're both together. Absolutely, they both share losses in the past. Yeah.
They have a kind of understanding of each other that's quite significant towards the end of the film. In just what occurs, you can see that they've both lived a life, and there's a sort of respect that they have for each other. You know, that comes through.
You've got some interesting actors. You've got. Emanuela Costaras, who plays Caterina, and she's kind of, again, she's a little bit of the, she's the jester in a way, isn't she? She's the one that kind of comes in, brings the truth to Kostas. When Kostas gets out of the way too much, she pulls him back in. She uses the word malaka often, which is, great.
You've got to love her for
that. You've got to love that. Malaka.
She's got a mouth on her.
She's got a mouth on her.
Probably my mouth.
Look, if anybody...
In fact, I gave her my mouth.
Well... We let's move along on that. But I mean, it's interesting that in terms of if anybody's offended by swearing, they shouldn't see the film. But it's a great film. I mean, you know, there's a lot of swearing in it. There's a lot of humour.
But it's all, you know, yes, there is swearing. But you know, the thing is, it's not aggressive. You know, like the swearing is playful. It's fun. It's how
everyone talks.
It's how, and particularly, I don't know, for people who have worked in restaurants, you know, and have that kind of, you know, there's the us and them mentality.
That's right.
You know, you've got the hot spot, the kitchen, you know, where the real stuff is said, you know, and then you've got the theatre, you know, then you've got the kind of, you know, the stage, if you like.
Well, there's three stages, which I find interesting, and there's three lots of action. There's the restaurant, which is kind of where everyone comes in, the audience and actors in themselves. Then there's the kitchen where things are formulated, discussed, intense. And there's also the back end where out in the shadows, where there's smoke. And finally, things try and resolve there. But there's always something strange and mysterious going in the back. Kind of reminds you a little bit of the Greenaway. A comedic... Now, what I find interesting, though, is that you yourself as a filmmaker, and we'll go a little bit about that, this is your first real foray into comedy, I guess, a sense of open comedic. I mean, it's not all funny. I mean, there's some serious elements in there. There's human elements, but it's not a dark film.
No. Well, I call it a black comedy, if you like, whatever that means. You know, like it's dark in terms of some of the issues it raises. You know, they're kind of... But ultimately, it was always going to be a light film. I keep going back to Vangeli because a lot of it was driven by that. Like, Vangeli has made some dark films and I've made dark films as well. And when we sort of decided to collaborate on something, it had to be something that we could have fun with and be a bit lighter with. It doesn't mean it's kind of not, you know, I mean, like you said, you know, there are some elements to it that are quite you know, they're dark, you know.
Of course.
But that's okay because there's a sort of joyousness, I guess, that I was trying to find. You know that thing of when you go to a taverna, you know, I never get depressed when I get to a taverna. I always sort of, even if I come with my baggage, I usually leave a little bit cut, very, very satisfied. Do you know what I mean?
Well, everyone seems to leave there somewhat satisfied. Yeah. Nothing is totally resolved, there's a catharsis at the end for everyone. There's an understanding that this is life. A taverna closes in the end. There's three or four or five interweaving stories. Everyone comes with their own story.
Yeah.
There's conflict. I mean, I don't want to go through much in the detail, but there's also a possum in there, which plays a significant role.
Yes, a possum does.
Possum does, which is something you not often see. A very Australian film in many ways, that the possum takes such a central role.
Yeah, if I can just talk about the possum.
Please talk about the possum.
Because the possum was inspired, if you like, by, I don't know, but my parents and their friends, and, you know, I'm talking about people in their sort of 80s, you know, they can't sleep in the suburbs at night because of these possums. And there is a real war against possums. It's a silent war that's taking place. You know, it's a carefully orchestrated war. So a lot of that kind of the inspiration for the possum came from this kind of,
anti-possum.
It's not anti-possum. It's just everyone needs to sleep.
Well, look, I've had issues with my possums. I mean, they're just crazy. They're dirty my deck. They're everywhere. And they're kind of cute, but they're there, aren't they?
See, but you find them cute. Others see them as the enemy. But it's a protected enemy. You see, this is the dilemma. And I know this for a fact, that there is one cage that I know of that goes around to many houses. From Box Hill to Dandenong, to, you know, gets shipped over to, you know, wherever, you know, Northcote. There is a cage that goes around. I'm sure there are more cages.
There's a lot of cages going around, but it's an interesting interplay. The possum brings us symbolically. You remember that you're not in Greece in this taverna.
Yes, these are
not tourists. This is Australia.
That's right.
And what I find interesting is that you've got some fairly complex and powerful female characters, which I think is fantastic. I mean, the female characters play a major role in this. You've got the belly dancer, which I forget her name as the character.
Jamila,
that's right. You've got Rebecca, Emily, Sally, who's played by Emily O'Brien Brown, very funny rendition of a kind of Anglo woman working. I mean, you've seen them a million times.
You know, she's a classic actress.
She's your actress working as
a waitress, you know, who's sort of, you know, reaching the age where those roles, you know, like she's missing it, you know. Do you know what I mean?
She's interesting. She says that she is really gratified that somebody at the audition said that she did a great job.
Yeah.
Not that she got the role, but she did a great job.
Well, that's enough. That is enough to inspire her.
Yeah. I mean, but it's really funny, the interplay between all of them is extreme at times, dynamic, but in the end, they all go home, really, don't they?
Yeah.
Things just unravel.
Well, at the end, it's sort of like, it's called, you know, it's family business, if you like, the taverna. But at the end of the day, everyone goes home to their lives to go back to work the next day. I mean, it opens again the following night. It's their place of work, but it is more than that. It's a place that allows them to, I guess, some sort of sense of freedom about who they are, you know. You know, if you're, you know, Sally, deep down inside, you know, I mean, she probably feels, you know, that her career is escaping her. But the taverna gives her a new sense of career, not about being a waitress, but about being an entertainer.
Well, there's the other thing too. She takes on, I'll give this away just for people to get a sense of the story.
Yeah.
The original belly dancer won't go out to dance for the second dance because her former husband is in the middle of the restaurant with a new lover.
Yes.
And Sally takes
a very rich
new lover. Yes. Slightly older, of a certain age, very attractive. And she's shocked. She doesn't want to be seen dancing, just in case, in the divorce case, she loses her children or something like that. We won't say much more because it's quite complex what happens after, or quite interesting, I should say. Of course, Sally takes on the role of dancing, which I find fascinating, that Costa, the owner of the taverna, doesn't have that much focus on the quality of the dance. He just wants a dancer.
That's irrelevant.
Okay, you know, so yeah. I just want to break into a little scene from that. I think it's important to look at that.
That's good.
I have devoted my life to telling stories and entertaining people. I am an actress. This is what I was born to do. Like you in your kitchen, yeah?
Totally. You are just going to go out there and dance. You are not making the Titanic.
I mean, I just love Costa. The way, she's really taking this on seriously.
Well, she's a great role for her.
That's what I'm saying. It's a taverna. It's an audience.
Yeah.
I'm going to feel the dance. I'm going to go. And this is like, and Costa goes, yeah, well, you're not building the Titanic.
Costa's worried because he's got bookings and people are expecting it doesn't matter. They're expecting a belly dancer, do you know? So he's got to deliver on the one thing Costa will always do, and that's deliver on his promises.
Well, this is what I find interesting, and I don't want to give away too much because, look, really people have to see this. There's so many interweaved. It's almost like, what could you call it, a grunge? I mean, I hate this sort of thing, but maybe a grunge, My Fat Greek Wedding element, you know, comedic, but it's got a grungy essence, it's got a tension, and it's got a lot of storylines interweaving. All I have to say is, in the end, I was quite impressed with Costa's final resolution.
Yes.
I thought he made a really tough choice.
He did, and it's a very, if we connect back to...
We won't tell everyone what it's
no,
about.
No, but let's connect back to, I suppose, Greeks with their children.
Correct.
You know, that relationship it's probably fraught with a lot of
issues. You talk about issues. In the film, you highlight that, which is something maybe it's uniquely to Greek Australians and maybe Greek
is
Americans.
It perhaps is, I think. Let me
ask you something. Yeah. I mean, we grew up in Australia, Greek Australian background. One thing that didn't happen to us, which happens to a lot of most Greek men in Greece, is they get torn away from their mother and they end up in the army.
That's right.
We don't. And we've seen many of this kind of almost suffocating, unhealthy relationship.
Yeah, well, we almost become a lifelong project for our parents, do you know? Like, and it doesn't stop. You know, that's it. So this relationship, like I said in the film, was very fraught.
We're talking about Costa and his son. Let's just say that. There's an interesting, intense situation where you expect him to go one way.
And I think it's the revelation of Costa, you know, understanding that he is, in fact, stepping in the way of his son, I don't know, facing responsibilities.
Growing up.
You know, it's almost like they don't want to let him go, but it reaches the point where if he doesn't, then...
He'll suffer the consequences of something he's never done.
That's correct.
Which is interesting. I think you really need to see it. It's hard to explain without giving away the clincher line.
It's a moment that kind of... Vangeli embraced in a really terrific way, actually.
What an actor.
Isn't he just wild?
It's just such a natural. Yeah. I mean, at some point you sort of feel like, am I in the taverna? Having said that, I am actually in the taverna. We should point
you
that
out. You are.
Playing a small bit role. No, but that's okay.
I've always thought about Vangeli, why, you know, there's Javier Bardem and there's guys like, a little Italian actor, a little Benigni,
Benigni, yeah.
I just wonder why Vangeli isn't there. And I think it's got a lot to do with Greek films maybe haven't kind of touched or hit Hollywood but the way they should have.
Take you back very briefly. Just remind listeners that your film career is extensive. I mean, you have – and your theatre career. I mean Every Night, the story about Christopher Dale Flannery, 1994, M4J, 2008, Blind Company, 2010, all of them have received accolades, all of them have been in international film festivals. I mean, I'm not going to go through the CV. You as a filmmaker, what drives you?
I don't know. I don't know. You know, there's this thing about, like, it's a compulsion. You know, like a writer has a compulsion to write a novel, you know, like I have the same compulsion to want to make a film or write a script. It makes no sense really, when you think about it. But it's just something that exists that if you ignore it, you get very depressed and angry. So you can't ignore it. So you have to kind of, in a way, you have to sort of feed this. And that's that compulsion, you know, to create.
And this film, The Taverna, is, I should point out, you've written it, you've directed it.
Yes.
Pretty well produced it.
Along with Jaden James and Emily Brian Brown, yeah.
It's really part of the new world, isn't it? I mean, we're talking about the way films are made nowadays. I mean, you can't rely on big distribution anymore.
Well, that world's changed in a way. I mean, interestingly enough, The Taverna has distribution worldwide. It's got all these things in place, but it's on a kind of different... It's a different scenario now. In the early days when I was financing films, you know, there were sort of big deals connected with it, and you know, there was a marketplace that was kind of clear. Now the marketplace is completely different, so you have these sort of different methods or, you know, ways to distribute films. So the way it gets delivered to audiences is completely changed. It's forever changing, but at the end of the day, I mean, people still want to connect to a story that means something to them, and I guess that's the drive for me, is finding that kind of, you know, finding the sort of people that audiences, you know, will respond to.
I was going to ask you about the drive part. You talk about Vangelis, the actor, and how you hang out together. We're talking about before we started, you meet each other in Greece often and you go to Greece often.
Yes.
This, while this is a very much an Australian film, it has a Greek sensibility to it, do you think?
Yeah, yeah.
It has an essence to it.
And it's got an attitude. It's got an attitude.
An attitude is what it has. Not so much a... Because, look, I have to say there's a very diverse cast.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there's, one non-ethnic, non-culturally diverse actor.
And she's Kiwi.
Kiwi. Yeah. That's right. So, I mean, you've got South Asian, Turkish, Armenian, Greek. I mean, everyone's there.
Yeah.
But it has a Greek energy.
Yeah, it's the attitude. It's that sort of... And also the humour, you know, like...
An irreverence.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, call it kind of like an irreverent comedy as opposed to a black comedy.
Yeah, I think that's... Yeah. I think we're hit on that. An irreverent comedy as opposed to black comedy. Because it's not dark. I mean, these are normal people having normal lives.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's quite comedic. It's got a romp.
Yeah.
In a sense, it's also got some elements of romp. And in some ways, it has elements of sort of... Goes back to some 60s films.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, look, you know, those classic Greek films of the 60s, those comedies, you know, the things that kind of like, they stay with you as a child, you know, they make impressions on you. And I suppose when I was writing The Taverna, a lot of, you know, that stuff came through for me, that idea that it just, you know, gets worse and worse, you know.
Yeah, an escalating action.
Yeah, yeah.
Every action brings on another action, escalating, weaving together.
And it was a matter of trying to control it all, you know, that was the thing.
Look, it's a very energetic, it's a very fun film. It's really worth watching out for. Alkinos, thanks for coming in today.
It's a pleasure, Forti. I wish you all the best with this podcast.
And I wish you all the best with the film.
Thank you, mate.
Cheers,
mate. Bye.
You have been listening to the podcast series The Cave, brought to you by Neos Cosmos. Think, are the shadows on the wall real, or are they just shadows? Until next time.